Blog Talk Radio.
This has always been a word planet. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being in Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. So I want to know how many people are excited about the word tonight. I said, are you excited about the word tonight? If you're excited, get up and we're going to just celebrate word together. Ah, you know y'all talk to gentlemen.
Lord, everybody, truly we are thankful and honored unto God for his goodness, his word, and just being on the broadcast today. I hope everyone can hear me. Hello?
I'm on. Hello?
Okay. Praise the Lord. I was just thanking the Lord. I'm speaking. I'm having a little technical difficulty with my earphone. But anyway, I'm so thankful and thankful to the Lord just to be on the broadcast today. We are continuing our series with the Holy Ghost. We're doing our part three of it. And I'm just so glad about this series because it's been interesting this week of how many sermons that I've heard. And they're all talking about teaching the Holy Ghost and how we don't teach it like we used to teach it and how it's just not being taught as much as it used to be. So I was so thankful and just excited to hear that because I feel like that means that God has given us a stamp of approval on doing what the Lord has told us to do. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm welcoming you to the Prospering Souls broadcast. And this is our teaching series on the Holy Ghost. We've had Bishop Edgar L. Allen as our teacher. And, of course, we've had Minister Henry and Elder Poston and Elder and Sister Dodson and Elder Russell all on the line as well teaching and taking part in this teaching lesson. And so we're just so thankful for that. And we're going to open up today with prayer and just ask God to just bless us. And as I wait for the others to come on the line, but we're going to ask God to just bless us that we will hear the word and that the word will fall on good ground and that all of those that need this word would hear it and that they will be blessed by it as they receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for such an opportunity to be used by thee. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world, and we thank you for that. We're asking you, Lord, to bless each and every hearer of the word on today, that they will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, and that they would also hear that it would fall on good ground, that they may hear and they may apply it to their lives. And their lives will begin able to turn around and they will be just have more joy and more peace and more in-depth knowledge of the word of God as it relates to the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you today. So we ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch us in every way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord, Minister Henry. I'm so thankful for you being on the line today. And as we wait for others to come on, I just wanted to kind of briefly kind of recap what was going on last week. We were talking a lot about the Godhead on last week, those three that bear record in earth, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost is the exact interpretation of the scripture. And so we wanted to just kind of look at that as a recap of what we were talking about. And also, it said we had three that bear record in heaven and three that bear record on the earth. And I'm trying to get back over to my notes, what I was trying to do. Yes, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they bear record in heaven. And then, of course, those that bear record in earth is the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And so we're so thankful for that particular teaching and just breaking it down. Do you have any remarks about it as well, of what we were talking about on last week?
Okay.
I was talking to you. It's just you and I on the line at this point. And so I was just
I was just listening to you for now. I mean, go ahead and.
Okay. So I'm just going to kind of go ahead and begin to talk about some other things. I was trying to see where our speaker was, but I can't do all that. Okay, so anyway, we're going to go on. I was just looking at the particular scripture teaching today, and I'll go on until they come on the line. If he makes it on the line, I'm not sure what's going on. I talked to him earlier today, so I do believe he's going to make it. But anyway, I'm going to look at it from this perspective. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? To your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. This is John 14:26. But one of the first things the Holy Spirit does is it takes the love of God and makes it personal. It no longer is, he loves the world, but does he love me? Yes, he does love you. When he gave you the Holy Spirit, he said, I must go that the Comforter may come. And so he also said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and this is John 14:26, says, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. And so that is what Jesus is saying. He said those are the things that the Holy Ghost will do. And says, so as you will begin to realize that how precious you are as a person to God, you will know firsthand the amount of care, compassion, and planning that God has put into your life, and how he continues to monitor each and every tiny detail about us. And the Holy Spirit makes you feel special. The more you get to know him, the more you need to know him. And that's the thing. And what are some of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do as he comes into our life, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Then he brings God's presence to you, and your relationship with God gets really deep and soon becomes the best part about your life. Then another thing is that the Holy Spirit teaches you God's word, the Bible, and begin to understand things that like you never before. So you also begin to hunger for more. So when we get the Holy Spirit causes us to hunger for God more, because that's the person that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And so we begin to hunger for him more once we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we begin to seek God in a more deeper way. That's what I believe. It says your prayer life is transformed, that you pray much better, and then you're using the gifts of tongues. Your prayers are guaranteed to be effective. He says the quality of your prayers will amaze amaze you and even the people that hear it, because you begin to pray more on a spiritual level. And so those are just some of the things that the Holy Spirit comes to do when it comes. Next thing is, it says he can reveal the future to you. If you are mature and know how to handle what he tells you, he will show you things before they happen. It says the Holy Spirit restores and renews you. He picks you up when you sin, and he refreshes you when you are tired and weary. These are things that the Holy Spirit can do for us. And then, which gives you wisdom and understanding, which is not humanly possible. He allows you to see through people and into their real motives, and also looks past situations and see the big picture. So these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do. Do you have any comments about that?
Oh, keep going, Elder.
Okay.
You're on the road.
Okay. He also increases our faith, and we will begin to expect to see a lot more miracles in our life. And you can notice levels of faith that you have never known possible before he came into your life. And I believe that is so true. Even like with with our prayer life, like we was talking about with the prayer life, I know for myself that I had more confidence about the things that I was praying. Once I received the Holy Ghost, I think my level of belief in God and even in the fruit of the Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit was enhanced, because when I received the Holy Ghost, I believed in divine healing. I believed in, just the miracles that God had promised. I began to have a deeper faith in those particular things, which to me were brought on once I received the Holy Ghost. It says he's improved the quality of your life. The starting point does not matter. He increases your intelligence, your physical strength, and energy levels. And this is an overflow of the life from your spirit flowing through your soul into your physical body. He brings to your inheritance. He helps you to mature as a Christian. And over time, you begin to realize just how much God has done for you. You are, as you experience it, your love for him increases, mm-hmm. and your praises, thanksgiving, and worship become a lot deeper. So these are just some of the things that happen when the Holy Ghost has come into your life. It says some of these benefits became immediately apparent. A few of them even began to manifest over a few short months. So once the Holy Spirit has come upon you and given you that power, these are some of the attributes that you can look forward to. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is God. So because God, the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit working on the earth. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit on the earth, the Bible says in Luke 24:29, it says, "I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And that's Luke 24:29. Says the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to strengthen each believer and endow them with power and boldness so that they become witnesses for Christ. The Holy Spirit lovingly watches over, encourages, nourishes, and grows the church. That's what it comes to do, those things. And it has a lot of different characteristics that the Holy Ghost began to do, and I think that was the path that we were going to take today about, what he comes to do. He comes to lead us, he comes to guide us, he comes to teach us all things, he comes to bring things to our remembrance, and so those are some of the things that we were going to talk about today, but I'll keep on. On my lesson, it says, then if we read John 16:8, it talks about, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This is what Jesus tells his disciples when he first asked them to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, but asked them to wait till they receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, which will give them power, which they need to spread the gospel. So we need the Holy Ghost. We need that infilling of the Holy Ghost so that we can be able to do the work that we are to do for God, the kingdom work that we are to do for God. And so it says it causes us to be more effective in our spreading the gospel and also effective in our preaching Jesus to people when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Next, And one thing we can be inspired, this is one of the stories that talks about them being after they had received the Holy Ghost and how they were endued with that power from on high. It talks about the apostle John and Peter, and when they were walking into the synagogue to preach the gospel to the Jews, there was a man there, and when they were entering, they saw a man who was lame from birth, and how this man was carried and put on the gate, by the gate of the synagogue every day, so that he may beg and survive on alms that the people offered him. And he was well known in the temple circles as he was a regular there. And then it said, when this man saw Peter and John, he immediately asked them for alms. And Peter observed the man and saw that he had faith. And he told this man that he does not have silver and gold, but what he does have, he was willing to share, and that was the name of Jesus Christ. He was willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he told him, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, rise up and walk. And as Peter spoke those words, with the man felt strength flow into his limbs, and for the first time he was able to stand up. Those are some of the things that as we are filled with the Holy Ghost and our faith increases and it strengthens us, that we'll be able to do. We may not be able to give anybody $1 million, but we can give them what God has given us, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can give them, we can speak healing to them, and as the apostles begin to move because they have been endued with that power from on high, they begin to do greater works that Jesus had told them that they would do, and it was because they have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, and the Holy Spirit is still doing the work of God. And do you have anything you want to say about that? I'm gonna try to call for a speaker if you want to talk a little bit, Minister Henry.
Go ahead. I was thinking about something, but go ahead. When you're done, I'll ask you a question.
No, go ahead. I can't do that in your talk, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the Holy Spirit, because, I mean, if we look at it, although there are different views on the Holy Spirit, but clearly our view is that God is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God, and he gives you his Spirit. And, you know, interestingly, so it has to be, as we talk about the Holy Spirit and the way we talk about it in the New Testament, it's quite different from the way it was spoken about in the Old Testament. The Old Testament talk about the Holy Spirit. Even we see the Spirit moving upon the waters because that was God. We even see David saying, don't take your Spirit from me. We even see the 70 elders. So it seems like then the Holy Spirit is spoken about in the New Testament in a new way that is completely different from the Old Testament. Because it seems like, and I think the theory is that in the Old Testament, the Spirit, although man has a spirit, right, Elder? Man definitely has a spirit.
Yeah.
So God breathing to man gave man a spirit. So that is part of God. But then it seems like there's another dimension to that. It doesn't mean you have all of God. You have aspect. And that empowers you to do certain things. So then it seems like it's clear that the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament operates differently in the Old than in the New, because, and again, the view is that the Holy Spirit, with man's spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon, but it didn't rest. So in the Old Testament, then God did a new thing where now the Holy Spirit indwells, right? And that even makes it very powerful in the old, in the new than it is in the old. And one of the things I always like to make reference to, even when, you know, John in the book talk about John baptized you with water in the book of Acts, you know, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit afterward. And Jesus said, go and wait for the Holy Ghost. And after you wait for the Holy Ghost, something interesting will happen. And that is in the book of Acts 1 and 8, you know. And you will receive power. You will receive power.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we can clearly see that the apostles, as much as they walk with Jesus, it was very difficult for them to understand him. It was almost impossible for them to understand him. Everything he said, most things didn't make sense to them. You know, every time he said something, they didn't get it, they didn't understand it. But then, interestingly, after the Holy Spirit came upon them, everything changed. So like you were saying, the acts of the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit is very important in the life, in the believer's life. So because, I mean, to see such a dramatic change with them that we see Peter speaking in such a bold way that he didn't have, you know, the very same Peter that was running away and denying Jesus three times, well, he didn't care anymore because now he was so consumed. I guess that's why when we talk about the Holy Spirit in Acts consuming them like fire, and, you know, meaning that it actually possesses you and takes control of you in such a way that if you even allow it, the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you will see yourself doing great things. And he was so consumed by that he preached a whole sermon. And it seemed like things that Jesus taught them that they did not grasp. And as we see Peter speaking, that is so amazing what the Spirit of God does. You know, and I guess that's why, you know, it's important to be in the kingdom of God, because that's the benefit of being in the kingdom of God.
Yes, and that's the benefit of being into it. You're so right, because that's what the Holy Ghost, I mean, being filled with that power will cause you to do. Without it, you really can't be effective in the kingdom.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact. So the next thing is, I'll try to keep going on this topic. I better prepare myself and if I don't do this again. One thing after we were talking, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, just in order for us to be successful as ministers of the gospel, that we have to be, you're not successful or we will not have the influence on the world without the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. It says the Holy Spirit will teaches us the importance of a church and the value of God's place on the souls of the other people, and he shows people what sin is and why they need the gospel. So it's really imperative that we need to get the Holy Ghost. And so many times I feel like that people just kind of, they join the church and then they just do that and then they feel like everything is, that they're complete. But you're not complete without all of God being dwelling on the inside of you. Because he's the only one that can complete us. That's why Jesus said he must go so that he could come. Because Jesus knew that we would need that in order to continue to carry the gospel. When he was with the disciples, they didn't need it because they had him. But when he left him, he sent the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the Holy Spirit has so many different offices that he comes. He comes. He's a counselor to us. The John 1 John 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is true." So it was talking about the Holy Spirit acts as a counselor, because we were going to talk about this today, so I'm just going to go ahead and try to fill in from what I think was supposed to be taught. It says the Holy Spirit acts as a counselor or one who offers counsel to the children of God. The counsel or advice that the Holy Spirit provides is invaluable to your life in Christ. The Holy Spirit tells you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
Yeah.
That is what he tells us.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is the Holy Spirit has knowledge about the past, the present, and the future. So sometimes when we feel like, well, how can God use me? Does he, you know, look what I've done. God already knows your past, your present, and your future. And his perspective on things is much wider and broader and better than the human being, and therefore the counsel he provides is the best anybody can ask for. It said, you know, those are just some of the things that happens with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit as a counselor. It says you may have God personally giving you, if we look at it that way, as he's a counselor, we have God personally giving us counsel. It is much better than anything the world can give, and make it a habit to depend on God's advice and information, what to do and how to do it. Now, we're not saying if you need a counselor not to go to a counselor, but even in your counsel, God is still speaking.
Yes, definitely. Because, I mean, the whole idea of the church, you know, there is no way you can, because, you know, Jesus talked about bringing the kingdom, and there is no way, like I said back again, the reason the disciples and many people found it difficult to walk with Jesus, because they did not have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within them, you know, bearing witness of things, you know, and filling them. And it's the only thing that can bring the realization of who God is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Because to have the Spirit of God is to be connected with God, is to be part of the family of God. It brings wisdom. It brings understanding. It bears witness of Jesus. It counsels you. You know, even when Peter, we see that when Barnabas and Paul were separated, that was done by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God's agent in the earth. It works.
Yeah.
It's God's working force or working agent in the earth that teaches us. If we remember when Moses was taking the children from Egypt, we saw God talking to him and God leading him, telling him what to do and giving him the stick. But there was something that also happened with an angel, that agent coming to assist. Although the angel is not the Holy Spirit, it's a messenger, but the Holy Spirit pretty much does the same thing. When we in the Old Testament, the 70 that were anointed and to assist Moses, the Holy Spirit came upon them. What does that mean? They started speaking. The Holy Spirit just didn't come and they started prophesying. Well, that simply means the Holy Spirit empowered them to do anything for God. You have to be empowered by Him, and the Holy Spirit is that thing that empowers us. It gave us the ability to know God, to understand God, to be faithful to God. The Spirit, it guides us, it leads us in many ways so that we can be successful in our walk with God. Now, we know that, you know, concerning the Holy Spirit, people have a lot of questions because and even the bishop noted it, because there are some people that are confused as to whether they have the Holy Spirit. Well, once you accept God into your life, you do have the Holy Spirit. He comes and takes residence into you. But there's another aspect of the Holy Spirit that Paul later on did a teaching on in 1 Corinthians 14, said that the Holy Spirit is a gift. There's a gift. There's a dimension to that which is a gift, you know. And so that's
where the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes in. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. It just wasn't that it came upon them, but it got in them.
It got in them. And that's what happens when one receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there's another dimension, the gift of the
that
Holy
gets
Spirit
in
as
them.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That fills you in another way. So I mean that's another, you know, it's another thing, there's a lot of debate about it. You know, they talk about the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you know, that's part of it. But the Holy Spirit is very important, and people even got to know that once you receive the Lord in your life and you become part of his family, he gives you that privilege and the benefit of having his Spirit. And because that what happened with the apostles after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit filled them and empowered them to, you know.
Yes.
By the same time, we cannot neglect the gift of the Spirit as taught about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because that's also a benefit. And
it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about that after you receive the Holy Ghost, after you receive it, then it comes and if there's gifts of the Holy Spirit that are utilized and they are administered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a whole nother lesson, and we'll get to that a little later in our study of it. And so, but we wanted to also talk about just some of the things that the Holy Spirit comes to do. And like I said before, he comes as a counselor, and then he also comes as a comforter, because that's what Jesus was talking about in John 14 and 18 when he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things. And so this is the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. He knew that once he left, there will be some difficult times, and that his people will have that they will have to face, and like we have to face today. And he knew that life was not going to be easy, and that the easy for the people and circumstances and events that can break them. But the Lord's people are going to need a comfort. And when Satan attacks them all from all sides and tries to crush their faith, Jesus fulfills this promise on the day of Pentecost by pouring out his Spirit on those who loved him. He said he poured it out. It was kind of like a fulfillment of the book of Joel in the second chapter, where it talks about, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. And it went on to talk about that. And so this was like a fulfillment of that particular promise that was in the second chapter of Joel.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Go ahead.
So that's why, as children of God, it's good for us to be spirit-filled and spiritually minded. Let me say spiritually minded, because walking with God, God is a spirit. And to walk with God in an effective way, you have to be spiritually minded. What does that mean? You got to think like God and be like God in terms of his word. It's nothing deep, just his word. What does his word say? If you do that, you are spiritually minded. And if you can tune in, because the Spirit dwells inside of you, and we always have to listen, you know, for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you know, because sometimes people can be a confused. What's the voice of the Holy Spirit versus the voice in my own head? That's a valid point. Well, it's good to, that's why it's good to study the Word of God.
Because yeah.
The Word of God will balance things out. That's why, you know, if you're not careful, and what can even happen if you're not careful and you're always operating in the Spirit and not careful in studying the Word of God, that can be another problem. But you got to
yeah.
balance the two by studying the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and it will even cause you to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit better. And there may even be some pattern that the Holy Spirit, you know, may give you in terms of knowing His voice. You know, so it's very important. Dreams, it could come to Spirit and speak to you through the dreams, through the vision, and through so many ways. So we got to be in tune with the Word of God to be effective in hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. If not, you know, it can be very difficult. Another thing, Elder, I think, in Acts 16, the Holy Spirit guides us very well. Because here, we see this was not the issue of them just reading, because by then they did not have the compilation of the Bible, and they actually studied from the old. Okay, so in Acts 16 and 6, it said, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Spirit to preach the word in Asia." So the Holy Spirit is very important. We always got to be in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit. Very in tune. It will tell us to do some things. It will tell us not to do something. It will tell you who sometimes you're about to get in relationship with somebody. If you're in tune with the Spirit, the Spirit can help you with that, yes or no. You know, even sometimes common thing, driving on the freeway, you know, if you're in tune with the Spirit, you may hear a voice saying, "Turn, you know, get off," you know, and learn it. It becomes a practice. And the more you practice it, the more you will be in tune with the Spirit. But again, study the Word, meditate, you know, sometimes just pause and listen quietly. And the more we do that, the better we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in leading us and guiding us and for us to be successful. Because Jesus did it. He was always, he had retreats to communicate and fellowship with God. That's how he drew his power, communicating with the Father in prayer, listening to the voice of the Father, and following the Father's directive. We ourselves have to do the same.
And you're exactly right, and that is true. And so I just think we have to utilize the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we are allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to comfort us. And to like you said, He will help us make the decisions that we need to make. If we call on God, God will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Sometimes we're looking for Him to speak to us in this big way, but He's coming in a still small voice. And so therefore, you know, you have to be spiritually in tune to be able to hear what God is saying to us through the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. And another thing, Elder, with the Holy Spirit, it goes back to the garden. The Holy Spirit don't make us do anything. We have a
no.
will.
You have a will.
We have our own mind and our own thinking. So
yeah.
It's based on our cooperating with the Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit to work effectively in our life. Because even the Bible warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We saw a similar thing again with the angel. Israel were warned, you know, not to grieve, not to go against the messenger, you know. So the Holy Spirit, based on our level of cooperation, that would determine how active the Holy Spirit becomes in our lives.
Yes.
Let me read it.
Go ahead and read
Ephesians 4:13. It said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see? Do not grieve, Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see? So we have to be careful, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So that's interesting, because it's telling you that the Holy Spirit has a personality just like we do. You know, because if the Holy Spirit can be grieved, the Holy Spirit has a personality just like us.
Just like we do. He has a personality just like we do. And so that's what we got to think about. We got to think about that, that we are never alone when I'm going back to the comforter part of it, because it says that we are never alone, and Jesus himself is with us through our sorrows, through our troubles. He is with us in everything, but he has a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality just like Jesus. He's, you know, because like we said, he's a part of God. He's God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's the personality of that particular a part of the Godhead, and he is that person that bears record in heaven, and he bears witness in earth.
Mhm. Yeah. Spirit plays a major role. I mean, because Jesus said he calls the Holy Spirit a helper, you know. That was a promise to seal us. And the Holy Spirit identifies us with God, because in us is through which, you know, we know and God knows that we are his children. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit will cause us to remember all things. All these things are found in John 14:26. So even sometimes people speak about being lonely, but the Holy Spirit is a friend. The Holy Spirit is helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper in every way.
Yeah.
What do you need help with? And because Jesus did not, you know, say, oh, he's a helper in X, Y, Z, but the Holy Spirit is a helper in all things.
In all things.
Because
he said he can't teach us all things.
Yeah.
Well, if he's going to teach us all things, that means he can help us in all things.
All things, because Jesus is about to leave the disciples, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to fill them. The Holy Spirit was going to help them, empower them in every way for the mission. There was no way they could do the mission without the Holy Spirit. There was no way they could do the miracles without the Holy Spirit. There was no way they could feel joy or do persecuted with all the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lets you know everything will be all right. It was through the Holy Spirit. Just imagine them stoning Stephen. Thing that caused Stephen to minister the way he did, in the power the way he did. And even when they were stoning him, his eyes was open. His eyes were open to Jesus. It's caused by the Holy Spirit. The ability to forgive and say, Father, forgive them, it was caused by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The next thing, if we think about the Holy Spirit, it comes to guide us as well. So it's also our guide. It can help us to navigate through life. And what John 16:13 says is he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, that's interesting when it says whatever he hears, he will speak.
So he got to be hearing from who? God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit is a guide in our life, and he knows God's will and plan for our life. It says he is also aware of the things to come and situations that you cannot possibly know, but he guides you with gentle promises. No, gentle prompting, but never overrules your free will. And you was just talking about that. He doesn't overrule our free will, but he guides us with just gentle promptings. And says it is truly a blessed experience to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So God never is a bully.
No, and you said some, because the Holy Spirit is truth.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit doesn't lie. And one of the things, after you have studied the Word of God and learning the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is truth. God is pure in nature. Therefore, the Spirit is pure in nature. The Holy Spirit wouldn't lie to you. If the Holy Spirit tells you something, believe it. That's why we got to learn the voice of the Spirit. Match it with the Word. Because the Holy Spirit is our best friend. The Holy Spirit knows who, when, how, or situation for us to get into and don't get into. And I'll tell you the truth. One time, years ago, there was somebody who, you know, having, you know, being a Christian, studying the Word of God, you know, learning some things. While talking to this person, they laugh. Just the laugh. Something prompted in my heart that this person is highly rebellious, very rebellious. And later on, years went by. But that wasn't just my wisdom, but it was, I believe, the Holy Spirit telling me that, prompting me. And Elder, as time went by and I got closer to this person, that rebellion, Elder, came out. Now, it wasn't the Spirit of God let me know. Now, it's up to me to guide my association with this person because the Spirit is truth. And Elder, just as I went back and remembered the voice after the person left and said rebellious, this person is rebellious, I found out the hard way. You know what I mean? So
yes.
The Holy Spirit is truth, and we have to believe it. And if the Holy Spirit told you something and did not come back and doesn't come back and tell you to change anything, you better stay on course.
Yes.
You
are right.
If the Holy Spirit tells you something and doesn't come back to say change, stay on course. Keep that word and stay on course.
Yes.
Because if you go ahead and say, oh, time has elapsed, and you know, it's all right. Well, if the Holy Spirit don't come back and tell you it's all right, it's not all right.
It's not all right. Because he will prompt us. Sometimes we be surprised at how we all of a sudden we feel an urgency to pray for a family member or pray for somebody we know. And we don't really know all the circumstance concerning that. You could be in your prayer time and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will drop somebody's name or somebody in your spirit and you begin to pray and intercede for that person. And then later find out later on in the day that, you know, that something went on that was major in their lives or could have cost them their life. Or something happened, and you don't know that the Holy Spirit was using you at that time to be able to pray for that person. Had you disobeyed and didn't begin to intercede, then you don't know what the outcome of something would be. We have to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Sometimes you don't know why. You may not have talked to this person in who knows when, or may not even be in steady contact with that person, but he'll drop somebody in your spirit to begin to pray for, and or you'll pray for them, or you'll call them, or something, and then you find out later, and you think back and say, oh, I'm so glad that I was obedient.
Yeah.
And listening to the prompt of the Holy Spirit.
And another thing, Elder, but the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is peaceful.
Yes.
You know, it's a comforter. So although you may be convicted by something, but if the Holy Spirit is telling you something, it should come with peace, not with so much.
Not with,
know,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, with so much rockers and, yeah, and just, you
yeah.
know. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray or to do something, it comes in a peaceful way. And I want that's one of the ways you can know it's the Holy Spirit. And even if you're not sure, and you don't want, just pause a little bit. Lord, is that you? And God won't get mad. That prompting will come back over and over again. I mean, that's one of the ways to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a prompting and will come back over and over again.
Yes, it will. It'll come back over and over and over again. I'm so glad that we have had this time to really just kind of discuss some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit and the reasoning why we really need the Holy Spirit and how it is operating within us. I tell you, it seems like the time just begins to go so quickly when we get to start talking about these great topics and stuff like that. And I'm so glad for you being on the line, Mr. Henry, and really beginning to share. I say I hadn't said anything, but I really wasn't feeling that well today. I've been having some struggles, but the Lord is blessing. I wanted to make sure that I continue on with the broadcast as we should. But I thank God for blessing us to make it through, and I thank God for your participation and your wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God and just sharing it and letting God use you in the kingdom today. I'm so thankful for that. And I would, if you would just offer our invitation today, I would really greatly appreciate it so that we can make sure that we try to make sure that we always offer Christ, because we want people to be saved. And we want people to find a good Bible-believing church and teaching church so that they can be taught and be strengthened once they give their life to the Lord. Would you do that today?
Yes, Elder, sure. You know, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus was John the Revelator began to see Jesus, and Jesus addressed him and told him to write some things to the churches, and even prompting them to come back, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." You know, so the Lord, if you're out there listening, Jesus said, the Bible said, "For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You may be somebody who, you turn your back on God, or you don't know God at all. Or, you know, a lot of things happening in our world and have so much questions. But the reality is, it's not for us to make you, but God will. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, listen to the voice of God. Listen to the prompting of God and be encouraged. Because if you allow things that are happening in the world to ignore God, then it's not right. Because a lot of things were happening in the world when Jesus came. Yet there were people who knew that he was true and they followed him. So I just want to encourage you, you know, if you don't know the Lord, to come back to the Lord and to just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you were sent by God to die for my sin. I thank you for dying for my sin. I give you my life. Now give me your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And friends, it's just that simple. Be encouraged.
Amen. Thank you so much. And we always encourage you to find you a good Bible teaching church that you can become affiliated with and be able to continue to learn more and more and more about the Word of God and about God and be able to just begin to walk with him and So we're so grateful for that. And we're going to close for today. We will be back here next week, and we will be back at our regular time at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, and we will be back at our regular time. And so we're just asking that everybody will continue to tune in and be able to hear the Word of God, and hopefully that you're blessed by it and that you'll begin to use the Word of God to walk in your life and even a greater study. Read some of the scriptures that, you know, go back and read the scriptures that we have talked about today and on the other broadcast leading up to this one. And we thank God for each and every one of you that took the time to call in, those that took the time to log in, and those that will even take the time to listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for just this avenue to be able to reach the world, and we're so thankful for that. And then I'll pray our closing prayer, and then we will see you back here again next week on the Prospering Soul. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed the Word of God to come forth. And you said that your Word would not return unto you void, Lord, but it will accomplish that what it is set out to do. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the Word of God today was sent to enrich the lives of your people. And that, Lord, that the word hopefully fell on good ground, Lord, and that the seed of the word will begin to sprout up. We understand that we are water, either planting or watering. But, Lord, we understand that you will always give the increase, oh God. So we look for the increase that will come forth from the seed being planted of your word being planted or of your word being watered. Lord, we thank you for it. Bless all of those that are listening, those that will hear the broadcast, that heard it to now, currently, and those that will hear it later, Lord, we thank you for it right now. We thank you for enlarging our territory, God, and, Lord, allowing new listeners to even come aboard and come and join in with us as we teach the Word of God. I ask you, Lord, plead the blood of Jesus over Minister Henry's life, Lord, that you will cover him this week and that you will be a blessing to this young man, Lord, and that everything he do shall will prosper, oh God. And, Lord, that you will bless his feet, Lord, every place the sole of his foot should tread upon, you will give him that land, oh God. So, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for all the things that you've, gifts that you've given him and put down on the inside of him, Lord, that they will continue to be stirred up and used for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, that today that we are vessels unto honor, sanctified in me for your use. So, Lord, we bless your holy name today. I plead the blood of Jesus over my own life, oh God. Lord, that you would touch and heal my body, Father, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every attack of the enemy. And, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over the people of God, the men and women of God that preach the gospel and teach the gospel, every prophet, apostle, pastor, and teacher. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, and evangelist, Lord, we ask you to touch them, God, as never before. Let them not preach in error, Lord Jesus, but let them give the word of God as you have given it to them to do. And, Lord, that they will be obedient unto thee, O God, in the name of Jesus. And so we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, O God, that they will be kept. Hallelujah. Bless those in hospitals all over this land and country. Bless our soldiers all over this world, oh God. Touch their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, just bless them, God. Hallelujah. Bless those that have come back wounded, oh God. Comfort, touch them as only you can. Bless every family that lost a loved one as a result of the war, oh God, that you will touch and comfort that family. And those that have lost loved ones all over this country, Lord, over the world, bless them, Lord Jesus, and comfort them in their hour of need right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those that need financial blessings, oh God. Begin to touch their lives, oh God. Make them good stewards, cheerful givers, and faithful tithers, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We ask you, Lord, that those that are going right now that don't have a shelter over their head, that they will find shelter, oh God. Those that don't have food to eat will be fed, oh God. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify your holy name. Save those that such as should be saved. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and we will join you here. Thank you, Minister Henry, for your faithfulness and your willingness to teach today. When you, I know you, we sometimes we don't prepare ourselves when others are teaching, but thank God for your what's already on the inside of you. So I thank God for that, and we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Soul. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you, Elder.
God bless you.